So welcome everybody. We're gonna just like Matthew, do you have 2 minutes to sing the song? You authorize us? Yeah, Abuna will authorize us. And then like it's 9:02, so just like sing together, just like maybe a couple of verses, and then.
My Coptic Church, the Church of the Lord, ancient and strong, I wish her long life. In the early years, after the birth of Christ, Saint Mark and Mary, light of the true faith, he dwelt in the land, proclaiming salvation, the name of our Redeemer Christ, who removed our sins. Of them believe in the Lord Jesus, and joy filled all the cities of Egypt. In a very, very short time, he abolished all cross was exalted, the sign of the faith. Satan quickly rose toward the Son of God. He steered the rulers, bears an army. Declared war on the sons of the faith. Deny your Christ or be thrown in the fire. Our honored fathers, elders and youngsters, were not moved by pain, distress, nor dishonor, but set courageously for one new turning back. We don't fear fire. Our Lord is Jesus Christ. Beaten and imprisoned, they lived in oppression. They were burned and killed and tasted every pain. By the power of their faith, they overcame their pain. King of peace, with blood and suffering, they bought the faith and preserved it for us in the name of our Savior. Let us arise from our laziness, with diligence seeking the heavenly rewards, the church of the Father. You are our pride, to her success let us all join together. My Coptic Church, her faith is orthodox, forever strong. Egypt is Christ.
Okay, tonight we're gonna enjoy having Matthew with us. For those of you who don't know Matthew, do I need to present you? Sure. I'll let you present yourself. So welcome to the people who are new. I think you were here before last year, right? So you're not new anymore. So I don't see any new face to welcome today. So we're going to enjoy Matthew praying. Huh? Oh, Mina, sorry. Oh. So we have Mina, first year Madison, right? And you just came from Mississauga, right? Okay, so welcome, Mina, and hopefully you became already one member of our family. Okay, good. Matthew, tfaddal. Before I forget, Abuna Shunida just told me that next week, God willing, we'll announce it. But we have Pope Tedros is coming, so he's gonna on Friday. He's gonna do Vespers. Did I say Pope? I'm sorry. Bishop Tedros. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's... the Bishop Amba Tedros is gonna... Oh, he's Motroni. Okay, so Metropolitan, not Bishop. So... Okay. Okay, well, yeah. So the Metropolitan, which is Motron, Amba Tedros will be giving a Vespers, and then he's going to be giving a talk not only to the youth, hopefully to everyone in church attending at that time. So make sure you come. Thank you.
Metropolitan Tedros was one of the immigrants long, long time ago in America. So he's very well educated in English and Arabic fluently. And that's why he used to come to us at least once a year. And he speaks English and Arabic. Usually his sermon, he speaks English and translates all the five verses. I'm sure that all of you will be benefited from his meeting with us next week, inshallah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, amen. Matthew.
Do you need to stand? Or are we fine to... Do you need to stand?
I'll try it. Maybe a stand. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Good to be with you all. As I was nicely introduced, my name is Matthew. For those who don't know me, you'll get to know me very well because I want to get to know you very well. So I apologize if I'm a little annoying. That's normal. If you don't know me, I like to put people on the spot. I like to promote discussion. So I hope that we can have a discussion together. I don't want to lecture because I'm not an expert in this topic. But this topic forced me to do some reading and to do some thinking and some praying. Do any of you know the topic, by the way? No? Okay. Oh, you know the topic. Prayer in a busy life. Okay. Prayer in a busy life. So, and when I first heard the topic, I started to read and I started to think and I started having a problem with the topic. With the actual title of the topic. And I'll explain why. Let's read a couple of verses, and we can talk some more. So maybe John can read. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Okay. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay. So we have rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And then we have the title, How to Pray or Prayer in a Busy Life. I felt a huge contradiction here when I read these verses. The title suggests something to me. I know that the title came from you guys. What is the title suggesting?
We compartmentalize our time. So there's like a praying time, there's a study time, there's a go to Rito during lunch break to eat food time, and so on.
Okay. So compartmentalization, okay. Very good. Anything else? What does the title suggest, prayer in a busy life? Too busy for God. Okay. Anything else? What is the title suggesting that I should talk about? Are we looking for an excuse not to pray? Is the title sort of I felt the title was suggesting that. A little bit. Okay? Prayer in a busy life. And then I see this verse, pray without ceasing. So there's a contrast here. Right? So the first thing I wanted to discuss with you is we have obstacles. Right? We have obstacles to pray, right? That's what the title is suggesting. The title is suggesting we are busy, we don't have time to pray, right? Or we are busy, prayer is not as important as other things in my life, right? So that is suggesting, and it's true, we have obstacles in the way of prayer. Anybody agree with that? There we go. Good. Okay. So I want to discuss together what are those obstacles. Okay? And our goal for tonight will be to remove all of the obstacles that we have in order to fulfill this verse 17 here, pray without ceasing. We'll talk about it more. But first I want to hear about obstacles. What are the obstacles for us to pray? Are there any? Yes. Distractions. Such as? Entertainment. More specific. Media. Yes. More specific. Netflix. Very good. Yeah. Anything else? School and studying. Okay. Very good.
See, that's an effort.
Effort.
Like you okay. Want to put the effort in to build that relationship.
Right. Lack of effort or laziness. Could we say laziness? We don't want to say laziness, but it is laziness. Yes. By the way, I'm guilty of all these things. I'm. That's why I had an issue with this topic because I was not the right person for this topic, especially Abuna sitting right here. But it gave me an opportunity to really think and read about it. What else? Any other obstacles? Sleeping. Okay. Some people like to sleep. Some people don't. Yes. We don't know how to pray. Yeah. Okay, very good.
You don't feel like you need to pray.
Okay, very good. Very good. Ego, pride, okay? Anything else? Not interested. Boring, yeah. Very good. Yes. God does not answer. Very good. Okay? Anything else? These are very good. Okay. Yeah? Good? Okay. Sold. Those are all of the obstacles, you mentioned all of them, that are in all the prayer books. I went through two prayer books since I heard the topic, and I'll show them to you. One of them is Beginning to Pray from Archbishop Anthony Bloom. I think we've studied this book here in the past a long time ago. It's a very good book. Second book, which is not an Orthodox book, but it's called Too Busy Not to Pray. Too Busy Not to Pray, which I found was a very interesting title and fitting for this topic. So first let's talk about time. Too busy to pray. This book says too busy not to pray. So why is this book saying this? Too busy not to pray. What is it suggesting, do you think? Has anybody heard about that book before? No. What do you think the title suggests? Too busy not to pray. Right. Someone who is reliant on prayer to live. Yes. Somebody who's living verse 17. Very good. Excellent. Very good. So we want to find an excuse not to pray. Let's be honest. Like, when I really thought about it, I said to myself, I'm looking for an excuse. We're looking for any excuse to give ourselves not to sit with God. Agree or disagree? Anybody disagree? No one's going to disagree publicly. Okay. I personally felt that that was the main obstacle, right? So the issue of time, for example, I looked up some statistics, okay, which were very interesting. From ages 8 to 12, take a guess the average amount of time spent on social media. Ages 8 to 12. Take a guess. Per day. Per day. 3? 6. 6 hours. Okay? Ages 13 to 19. Average time per day. What do you think? 3? 5? 8? More responsibilities, interesting, yeah? 9 hours, okay? So what the statistics are showing, let's not talk about God right now. Let's just talk about normal life, which is not normal without God, but it's another case, right? So we have a case where ages 13 to 19 are spending more time on social media than sleep or than school. That's pretty outstanding statistics, right? And then we have the audacity to stand in front of God and say, I don't have time. Do we really not have time? We have time. At least we have a little bit of time, right? So if, and I'm not suggesting that this group falls in that category, but it's suggesting that there's a movement in this world to be pulled away from this type of solitude, right? And be pulled into a social network, okay? So what I'm going to suggest, and I'll repeat this later on as well, and that will be our goal, I think, is to dedicate a certain amount of time for God every day. It doesn't have to be 9 or 6 hours, but it could be 5 minutes. Could be 5 minutes. Could be 4 minutes. Could be 3 minutes, could be 10 minutes, right? The point is, we need to commit to something every day. If we do that, what will happen, do you think? Let's say I have not prayed a day in my life. I'm going to commit to 30 seconds a day, okay? Abuna can correct me if I'm saying something wrong, okay? I've never prayed before. I say to myself, every morning, I'm going to give 30 seconds to God. I'm going to wake up and say, God, please bless my day. What do you think will happen if I commit to the 30 seconds? Yeah. I'm going to want to pray more. I'm going to want to pray longer because the 30 seconds will not be enough time anymore. Right? Anybody disagree with this concept? This concept exists in everything that we do. Even, and the most common thing is people who like to go to the gym, for example. Okay? Some of us, I can tell, are going to the gym here. I won't point out who. But at first, when you go to the gym, and I'm not a gym person, don't look at me as a gym person, okay? But let's call it exercise, okay? When you first start, you don't want to do it, right? You agonize over doing it. You think about doing it. You don't want to do it. You buy the membership. You don't go, right? But once you commit, right? You commit and you do it every day or every whatever. It's twice a week, right? What ends up happening is you start to enjoy it. You start to enjoy the benefits of it. And you feel when you don't do it, something's missing, right? Anybody go through that? Nobody exercises here. You're like me, right? But you get the concept, right? The point of this discussion is to offer each other some advice and some help, how we can get started, how we can be committed to our relationship with God, okay? So the second question that needs to be asked, what is prayer? What is the definition of it? Anybody know? Or what does it mean to you? What is the definition of prayer? Communication with God, okay? Any other thoughts? That's good. Yes? Mm-hmm. Very good. Face to face with God. So, what are we describing now? Communication, face-to-face, what are we describing? Friendship, that's very good, friendship. Friendship is actually nicer than relationship. I was going to say relationship, but friendship is even better, right? Friendship, exactly. So I can talk to this bench and tell this bench how beautiful it is and how brown it is and how shiny it is, right? But the bench will not offer anything back to me, right? So that's not a relationship, right? If I talk to this bench, that's not a relationship. But when I talk to God, it's a relationship. When I talk to John, it's a relationship. When I talk to my parents, my friends, my brother, sister, right? So sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that God is a person. He's not an idea. Not only is he a person, what is he for us? What is he to us?
For you did not receive the spirit of the of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, but whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Thank you. So this verse is very nice verse from St. Paul. It's saying a couple of things, but two things I want to focus on. One is that he's saying you have received the spirit of adoption. What does that mean? Why is he using the word adoption here? Anybody know? What is our relationship to God? He is our Father. So we are his children. How are we his children? By adoption. Okay? He adopted us into his family. Okay? And because of that, we have now, it says, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is very significant in the original text. When it says Abba, okay, what does that actually mean? Does anybody know? Why does it say Abba, Father? Why doesn't it just say Father? Why does it say Abba?
Our Father.
Our Father? Baba. He's my Baba, right? He's my dad, right? He's not just something up in the sky that doesn't know anything about me, I don't know anything about him. He's my dad, right? So when I look at God in that relationship way, right, I should not be, someone mentioned about, I don't know how to approach God or I don't know how to pray, right? How do I approach a dad who loves me and cares for me, right? That's how we approach God. Someone who is waiting to give us everything that we ask for. Someone who loves us to death. And he's waiting for us to speak to him. But we choose not to do that. Why? Why do you think that is? I don't answer my own questions. I never do. You can ask my wife that. Why? What is the obstacle? Yes. We feel shameful. Okay, that's a big one. That's a big one. So guilt is a big one. Okay. Do we have any issue talking to our friends about our issues or if we feel bad about something? Do we have any issues with that? No. Do we have any issues posting on Facebook my status and how I feel, and I'm feeling blue today, I'm feeling yellow today, I'm feeling red today, I'm feeling smiley, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling rainy, I'm feeling... Do we have any issues? We don't. So what's the issue? Do we have an issue expressing ourselves? We don't. So what's the obstacle? We don't see the benefit of prayer. Am I right or not? We don't see the benefit, right? We see the benefit of talking to our friends. We see the benefit in socializing. We see the benefit in having relationships on earth. But we don't see the benefit of talking and expressing to our Father, right? So why don't we see the benefit is my question. Or do we see the benefit? We see the benefit and we don't do it, or we don't see the benefit? Probably deep down, we don't see the benefit. I know for me, I think that's what it is. If I go throughout my day and I don't give God a second, that means I feel that I can get through my day without him. I'm good without him. Whatever happens, happens, right? I'm just going to do my thing. Don't need to talk to God. Don't need to involve God in any of my problems. I'll talk to my wife. I'll talk to my friends. I'll talk to my coworkers about all my problems. I'll complain, but I won't talk to God. So what I want to offer tonight is for us to flip that around. When I want to complain about something, right? And we all have problems. We all have issues. And if you look at Facebook, you'll see everybody has problems that they want to talk about, right? But our problem is that we don't want to talk and share that with God, right? So I would challenge, one of the challenges for tonight is for us, when I feel angry, and I could be angry to God as well, why don't I tell him? Is that wrong? Is it wrong to tell God I'm angry with him? Is it wrong? It's not. Okay? And in fact, I can tell you from my experience, which is very limited, okay? But the most effective time I felt God is when I was complaining. The most effective time when I said, God, what is this mess that I'm in? That's when I felt his presence the most. Not at that time, but later on, I felt that God answered my prayer. Okay? So And he is waiting for us to tell him our problems and everything that we're dealing with, because he wants to offer us help, right? He wants to give us his grace. Does that make sense? Does anybody not agree with what I just said? Yes. Right. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So that goes along with, I think, what Joseph said about, or some, was it you that said he doesn't answer? Okay. I'm going to read a paragraph from this book because I knew this question would come. Okay. So he says, if he's talking about what, why does God not answer my prayer the way that I want? Okay? If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. I love that. You want me to read it again? If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request, the timing, and you are right, God says go. So, what's the answer to your question, Joseph? You don't have to answer, but what's the answer? God is not answering me. God is not doing what I want. God is not giving me the grace. So what's the answer? Somebody tells you that, what would you tell them? Because who knows best? Baba. Baba knows best. He knows what's best for me. He loves me, right? But sometimes I feel I know best. Sometimes I feel, you know what? If I get an A+, my life will be amazing on this test. It has to be on this test, and it has to be A+. Can't be an A, can't be a... A is good too, but A+, right? And then I get the A, and oh, God... How could you let this happen? Right? And then God says, oh, are you talking to me? Did you just say my name? Right? Part of the problem is that we ask God for things, but we're not spending any time with him. Right? So we have this notion that God is a genie. We have this notion that we're going to rub the lamp. Okay, give me... this relationship, right now. God, you didn't give me the relationship. And they hate me, and they posted something about me on Facebook. Oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Right? Right? Isn't that what we do that, right? But we're happy to talk to God when problem we have the problems. We're not happy to talk to God any other time. So I challenge myself and all of you as well. Every time something like that happens, I have to ask myself, am I really in tune with God? Is my feeling of this is bad, this is a bad thing for my life, is it really the truth? Or is it not? Maybe it's not, right? So it's as we grow in our relationship, and I'm still learning this, right? We trust that God is taking care of us, right? And that's the beauty of prayer. If I am praying, if I'm speaking with God all the time, and things happen to me, what is my reaction going to be versus if I don't have the relationship with God? Right? If I don't have the relationship, I'm going to be angry, and I'm not going to understand. If I have the relationship, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to say, God, I know that I asked you for this, but I know that you know what's best for me. It's a totally different response, right? For those of you who have experienced prayer in the morning, okay, and I'm not talking about a huge prayer, I'm just talking about a little prayer, and this is something I've struggled with my whole life, because I am not a morning person. I'm not a good in the morning at all. Right? You can ask my wife that and my kids. But someone told me one time, sorry, you have no choice. You're not a morning person. You have to start becoming a morning person because you need God's help during the day. And the only time that you can get that help is when you ask him in the morning. So I challenge all of us, people who are morning people, great. Go outside and talk to God for a few minutes. If you're not a morning person, strive to be a morning person just for this aspect. And I promise you, you will have the blessings. Because every time I do pray to God, I feel that blessing during the day. And when I don't, I can feel that that blessing is not there as well. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that as well. Right? Okay. Any other thoughts so far or questions? Are there any other obstacles that we have not covered? I think we've covered most of them. Okay.
And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
So the question came, I don't know how to pray. Thankfully, Jesus himself taught us how to pray, because the disciples asked that very same question, and he answered it in these verses. Now, in these verses, one of the books talks about this. Those four verses actually model for us what prayer should be. Okay, so we'll go through, there's 4 points. I'll go through the 4 points. The first one is to pray regularly. How do we know this? Verse 5. What in verse 5 would indicate that? Read verse 5. I see the scientific minds are going right now, the university minds. What in verse 5 would indicate that we should pray regularly? Very good. When you pray. So there's an expectation that we will pray. He didn't say if you pray, he didn't say when you pray one time. He said when you pray, okay? So step number one, as we talked about, pray regularly, okay? And as we said, just like anything else, and I know a couple of people who lost a lot of weight because they were consistent, they made a plan, and they were consistent with that plan. And I know many of you probably have done this as well, okay? So the key is you make a plan, and I would encourage you to sit with your spiritual father or spiritual guide to come up with that plan. But the main thing that we need to do is do something, plan something that is attainable. Attainable. Okay? So what does that mean? If I tell you, you need to pray 1 hour a day, you say, yes, yes, I'm going to pray 1 hour a day, but I know for sure I'm not going to do that. Then don't commit to 1 hour a day. If you can commit to a half an hour, if you can commit to 5 minutes, if you can commit to 20 seconds, make the commitment. And be consistent. Make sense? Because 20 seconds a day is much better than 5 minutes one day and nothing for the rest of the week. Follow me? Why? Because it's a relationship. I have to be continuously connected to my Baba, right? Make sense? And as we grow, everything will increase. With our spiritual guide, everything will increase. Okay. So pray regularly. Number two, pray privately. Verse 6, what would suggest that? When you pray, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay? This is very important because there's many people who go to church regularly but don't pray. There's many people who attend services but they don't have a prayer life. Right? The two are essential. Not one is exempt from the other, but the two are essential. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. There are different forms of prayer. Okay, but this form is the one that Jesus said specifically, when you pray, go to your room. Okay? So he's basically telling us we have to set a time to do that. Okay? So when we talk about the busyness of this world, it means, again, we go back to the planning. When am I going to sit with God? How long am I going to sit with God for? And when and where am I going to sit with God? I have to have those two things in my plan. Good? Pray sincerely is the third point. Pray sincerely. What does it mean, sincerely? What does it mean? Anybody know what that means? Yes. From your heart. Very good. When you pray, see, he says when you pray three times. I don't know if you caught that. Verse 5, 6, and 7. When you pray, when you pray, when you pray. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Okay? So many of the books are suggesting when we talk to God, just pray, just talk to him. Don't be so concerned about how you're praying or what you're saying. It's more important for you to be sincere, be truthful, and be authentic. Don't try to be something that you're not. Okay? And Bishop Anthony Bloom talks about that a lot in this book here. Right? He talks about how when we feel disconnected from God, it's because we're not ourselves. We're not ourselves. We're trying to be something, and maybe because somebody's watching, or maybe because I'm not being truthful about myself, maybe I'm not being honest with God, right? So just be honest. You're angry, tell him you're angry. You're upset, tell him you're upset. You're jealous about someone, tell him you're jealous about someone. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to present yourself as a perfect human being in front of God every time you talk to him. Because he knows that we're broken and he wants to help us. So I would encourage you, if you have not done so, be authentic. He's your dad. Approach him, talk to him anytime that you want. Say anything you want to him, because that's a form of prayer. Good? The fourth point is pray specifically. Okay? Specifically, and the book talks about this, that the Lord presented us with a prayer, which is amazing. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay? So we have specific prayers that we pray. Right? And thankfully, the church has given us many tools to pray. We have Our Father who art in heaven. We have Scripture. We have what else? Book of the Hours, we have liturgical prayers, we have the Psalms, we have many, many, many tools that we can use to pray. Okay? But that's among the four points. Okay? So there's specific prayers and there's sincere prayers, both of them essential. Okay? So we'll go over the four points. You guys remember? First one, regularly. Privately? You made me forget. Regularly? Privately? Sincerely? And? Specifically. Okay, those 4 points. So remember those 4 points. And even if you think about those 4 points, if you say to yourself, you know what, every day I'm going to pray for 30 seconds. Okay? And you think of those 4 points, you're going to easily pray for 5 minutes. Easily, right? The point is the commitment. The point is not the time. The point is the commitment, right? If I commit, then God will work with that, and I will grow with him. You with me? The last thing I want to talk about is, I'm going to call it attainability. Let me look at the time. Okay. Attainability. Sometimes we feel that God is not attainable. He's far away, right? And we talked about this, about calling him my dad, right? My Baba, right? But also, we feel like he's not tangible. We feel like he's far away. He's something that I can't conceive in my brain, okay? So I want to share with you something. My sister is a teacher, and she was telling me about, she took a workshop, and they were telling her about students nowadays are having trouble with mathematics, and they can't figure out what's going on. So they have found what's effective is that they will show the children pictures of anything, could be, you know, whatever, any kind of picture. And they'll ask the children, look at this picture and tell me what you see that relates to mathematics, that relates to numbers. And they found this was a very effective teaching tool to have the kids learn math. So that same concept was presented to me about God, which I found was very interesting and effective as well. I can look at anything and see how it points to God, right? Especially when we walk outside. God created everything, right? Everything was created, and I heard this from an Orthodox book, everything was created by God for God. Everything was created by God for God. That includes us as well, okay? So when I look outside at creation, I see that God created everything for his glory. He created me also for his glory. So whenever I look around, even when I look at all of you now, I can glorify God and say, wow, this is an amazing group of people. Glory to you, God. Right? I can look. How often do we go outside and admire nature? You know, there was a nun one time that asked us, how many of you have gone outside and touched a tree? Very few people lifted up their hand. She said, go out and touch a tree. Go and see life in that tree. That's God's creation, right? We have creation all around us, but we don't tap into that creation, right? So everything around us is pointing to God. Whether we like it or not, everything is pointing to God. Someone once said that every piece of bread points to Christ, because Christ used that bread and sanctified it to be his body. So now every time you look at a piece of bread, you should think of Jesus. Right? Every time that you look at a glass of wine, you should think of Jesus. Right? There's many things. I look at this wooden bench. What can I see in this wooden bench that would point to Christ? The cross. Okay? So these are examples, right? These are all examples of things that keep me in tune with God all the time, right? How everything points to God, how God is glorified, how God is glorious, how he's marvelous, how he's almighty, how he created the stars and the moon, and you know, anyone who's attended the midnight praise would know all of those things, how much God is wonderful and beautiful and how he created everything, right? So we have to find God in everything. That will help us to be in tune with him all the time. Even this morning, I had a meeting, 3 hours meeting at work, okay? And afterwards, I was thinking of this topic, and I said, wow, I wish I had thought of looking around the room and thanking God for all those people, or praying for all those people. Or, you know, like my boss is a little bit, you know, a little bit tough on us. You know, maybe God, maybe he needs a prayer, right? There's so many things around us that we can connect with God, right? So, and I especially, it's especially useful, I find, when someone is bothering me, okay? When someone is bothering me, I tend to want to just complain and talk about them and think about them in a negative way. But instead, I should offer them in prayer, right? So if I have feelings, if I have emotions, that means I can have prayers as well. So every time I feel something, I can offer that to God and let God handle it. So that does two things. It actually gets it off my chest, but also I allow God to work with it. And I say, God, it's your problem now. I'm not going to worry about it. Make sense? Conclude with one more verse. This is Matthew 6.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
This is one of my all-time favorite verses, and if anyone noticed, if you ever hear me speak, I always bring this verse in because it ties into everything, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What are all these things? What are all these things? All our needs. Anything else? Very good. And if you read this passage further, we understand from this passage that the Lord is saying to us, don't worry about anything. Just seek me, and I will provide all your needs. We do the reverse. We love to do the reverse. We run after our needs, and we say, well, we're too busy for God. Right? That's what this book is saying. Too busy not to pray. Right? I'm too busy not to seek God. I'm too busy. I have too many things that I need God for that I can't afford not to pray. Because if I don't pray, what's going to happen with all these things? Right? All these things shall be added to you. If I don't seek, if I reverse it, I don't mean, this is not like a guilt thing, but sometimes we look at it the reverse. If I don't seek the kingdom of God, what will happen? I don't know, right? But this is a promise, right? Seek God and he will provide. Do we believe this or we don't believe it? I feel like sometimes we don't believe it. I feel like sometimes we don't believe that God wants to give us and wants to take care of us and wants to help us. I feel like sometimes we don't believe that. Because if we believed it, then we would seek him all the time. But because we don't seek him all the time, it means that we don't believe this verse. Right? So these are verses that are supposed to encourage us and supposed to take away any anxiety that we have, right? And all the books about prayer, they're all talking about how God is the King of Peace. He wants to give us his peace. And we say that all the time in the church, right? King of Peace, grant us your peace, establish for us your peace, and forgive us our sins, right? We always say that verse. Right? And all of us are seeking peace. All of us are anxious. All of us are worried. All of us have issues that we're dealing with. But we don't turn to God. God is waiting for us to turn to him. He wants to help us. It sounds simple, but for some reason we don't do it. So I'll conclude with the commitment. So tonight, myself and all of us, if I don't have a regular time with God, think about it now and think about how much time you can commit to, not how much time you want to do, how much you can definitely commit to every day. And if you commit to that, you will see the fruit of that and you'll see the benefit of it and the blessings. Sorry, I lied. I'm going to pull up one more verse just to bring home that point.
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it.
I love this verse so much. I love it so much. Sometimes we read tithes and we think that it's money, right? People know what a tithe is, right? It's the 10% that they were required to give to God, okay? But what is our tithe now? Yes, it's money is part of it, but it's also our time. It's also our effort, right? It's also our relationship with God, right? So if that's not a good promise, I don't know what is. Okay, if you need convincing, this is the verse for you, okay? Bring all the tithes into my storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me. He says, try me now in this. Test me. I dare you to test me. When you offer to me, what will happen, right? If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing. I'll share with you one last thought. Father Anthony Masih, he had a very good analogy for this. He said that God, and this is like, forgive the example, but it drives the point, okay? He said that God is like someone at an ice cream parlor, and they're giving away free ice cream, and it's free, and you can have as much as you want, but there's only one catch. You have to bring your own bucket. And the size of your bucket will determine how much ice cream you get. So if I bring a small bucket, they can only fill the small bucket. If I bring a huge bucket, they're going to fill the huge bucket. Okay? So the challenge is not that I'm not going to get ice cream, but it's how much can I receive? How big is that bucket that I'm bringing to God? Okay? So I thought that was a very, very good analogy, that God is willing to give us, as we see here, right, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Okay, so how big is my bucket? Do I want this blessing? Go to God with that bucket, with that empty bucket. Give him that space for him to work and see what he will do. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any questions, comments? I'm glad we have two priests sitting here. So the question is, what is reward you openly mean? One of the fathers can tell us.
Thank you much, Theo, very much. Can you give me 5 minutes only to comment on this beautiful topic? To answer your question, it's very good when we come to it. When Matthew asked you, what is the definition of prayer? What was your answer? The most beautiful answer I heard is the continuous feeling that you are in the presence of God. The prayer is the continuous relationship with God. In another way, when you are in the school taking a lesson and thinking of God, during the lesson, you are praying. When you are eating, not just starting with Thanksgiving prayer before food, but while you are eating, feeling that this the bread given from God, you are praying. The praying is a continuous life, all our life. In another way, the source of my life is God. If I feel that my study is an item and my prayer is an item in the way, in the day and during the day, then I'm wrong. If I feel that my marriage and the sons which I beget, give gift from God, is an item, blessings from God, and my prayer to him during my marriage, during my the delivery of my wife, and another item, I am wrong. Make God the source of your life. The source of your life. And the meaning of the room here, when the Lord said, when you pray, go to yourself, to your room, in the secret place. What is the secret place? What is the definition of the secret place? تحت السرير, under your bed, ما هو لما يقول in a secret place in your room. ده تحت السرير ولا what? In the bottom of your heart. The word secret place means the very bottom feeling that no one knows it or feels it except him. Him here with big H, except God. So our relationship, my beloved children, is a continuous life with God. And everything else I do is going out of this source. Here in this concept, the prayer is not just an item. 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 24 hours, all my life, I am in continuous presence, feeling that the Lord is in my heart. And there is this relationship or this feeling is only for the Christians. Why do I say that? Not because I am fanatic to the Christians, but I was giving during the Ma'mudiyya and the Mayroon the gift to be the Heikal of God, the temple of God, the altar of God. My heart is the sanctuary of God, the altar of God, the temple of God. What the meaning of the temple? Can we use this Heikal in any other use except offering the bread and the blood of Jesus Christ? Can we do? We cannot. It's specialized. However, this Heikal becomes the source of my life. I take the principal item, the principal benefit of my of the Heikal here, when I partake the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and this helps me to live my life, either being a monk, a deacon, patriarch, bishop, married, non-married, doesn't differ. Very healthy, very weak, very sick, doesn't differ. Put in your mind that the life of prayer is my life, because I cannot break my relationship with God by any ways. In my room, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, in my car, in the study, in the library, everywhere. I am in the presence of God. In this concept, you will not be in trouble to say, hey, when do I pray? Or how much have I, or I must pray? Please, from now on, I beg you to delete the word have to. Don't do anything for your life under the name of have to. Replace it with love to. Not I have to, I love to. I love to pray. When I love to pray, I will not put my eyes on my watch. I love something. Like what Matthew said about the gym, when I go to the gym, and enjoy. What I do out of love, I enjoy. What I do out of must is something else. That's why your room is the secret place for. And then when he says he will reward you openly, because your relationship with God, the normal result will be your behavior outside. And this is the openly. You will find yourself not able to lie or to cry out to the people or to feel anger or to insult the others as a normal result of your presence with God. And this is the benefit that we take from the prayer. That's why the church is not an aim, is not a goal. Your prayer is not a goal. Your fasting is not a goal. Not everyone comes to the church and in his mind that it's enough. He satisfies God, benefit from the church. And not everyone prays in his own room under the bed, like what I said, benefit from the prayer. Make the prayer your enjoying time, your love. I love Jesus. Why do I love him? Because there is no one else in the whole world to be loved like him. There is no one else who sacrificed for me. And as Matthew said, God created all the creation for God, from God, yes? But I'm different from you. All the creation from God, but all the creation for me, not for God. The creation is not for God. He could have living without the creation. He created for me. The creation from God, but for me. That's why all this creation that we are now seeing and living on will be destroyed when he comes on the second coming. No use for it, because he created it for me. For me, Anna, Asheni, because he wants me to live with him eternally in the kingdom of heavens. Keep in touch with him. Feel his presence. وأنا مش هقول لك بقى تصلي كم ساعة, تصلي كم دقيقة, تصلي كم يوم, تمسك كم مزمور. أنا مش عايز أقول لك الكلام ده. You are not a slave. You are a son who loves him, who loves to speak to him. Make it بقى between you and your confession, Father, according to your ability and appetite. تاخد one dish, two dishes, five dishes, all the table, whatever. Yeah. It comes back to your appetite, to your ability, to your great love. And this love increases and integrates from time to time whenever you get used to the life of prayer. Thank you. Any question? ولا أنا, did I speak يعني theoretically كده مثلا ولا لا, it's real يا أولاد. I'm not teaching. أنا مش بقولكوا preaching arena. This is the teaching. If you want to test it and to try it from tonight, try it out this concept And put in your mind, I not have, I don't have to pray, but I do love to pray. That makes your life a normal إنك أنت مع المسيح. Continuously مع. This is the normal. لأنك أنت temple of God. الإكسبشن إنك تبص غلط. تطلع من بقك كلمة غلط. تشتم حد. تأذي حد. Do you understand? أنا أتكلم very simple يعني. تعمل حاجة وحشة مع حد. دي exceptions. تخلص منها بالrepentance والconfession. وتيجي تاخد تاني boost of the life of resurrection by the Holy Communion into a temple of God. كلنا a temple of God. Will God dwells in me. فالنورمال أن أنا أبقى attached to him in everything. لو نجحت يبقى God هو اللي نجحت. لو لقيت عروسة كويسة ولا عريس كويس يبقى ربنا هو اللي اختاره لي. دي بتخليني continuously feeling or referring everything in my life to his work in me as a father. Abba يعني أبويا. My own father. أبويا. أقول له يابا. في السعيد يقول له كده يابا. ما يقولوش يا بابا. هي نفس الورد دي. Abba the father. مش عايز أطول عشان أنا بينا متأخر لكن أنا very happy to attend this. It's a very important topic. The most important topic in our life is to understand what is the prayer, how to pray, why do we pray, what we will benefit from prayers, not only in this world, but in the kingdom of heavens. Any question? Any comment? Otsabuno Marcus, conclude to us, please. Conclude with the prayer. Please. Ah, yeah, if you have a question, can I tell you? No, no, no. هذا أبونا متى المسكين. لا أبدا هي زي ما قال أبونا كده it's called from God a response from me. Called from God response from me. Doesn't begin with me but begins with him and I answer his call. تفضل يا أبونا.